Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I got to tell you, I'm so thrilled to let you know Pilgrims, our newest C3 music album, is already here. The songs on this album are for our journey in Jesus. No matter where we are on that journey, in the valley or on the mountaintop, His love is unchanging, and so should our praise and worship be. Cannot wait for you to hear it. Head to iTunes or Google Play to download it today. Wonderful. All right, Luke 4, verse 18. I want you to check this scripture out, and I'm going to start presence right here with this message on freedom is here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to proclaim, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Let me pray right now. Father, I'm asking You to help me articulate this message of freedom in such a way that it isn't just information, but it's an impartation of an actual move of God into our lives that liberates people in this room from things that have dominated their world for too long. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God's into setting people free. It's very obvious right from the start. And if you're watching online, welcome. I know you're going to really get a hold of this message. Lean in. Don't switch it off. Stay with us. And at the end, we'll be praying. And you can be a recipient of that deliverance prayer. And so here, Jesus is in the synagogue, and He is saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me. And He goes through a list of things that to preach the gospel to the poor, which is awesome. That we need to bring good news to people who are in a poverty-stricken state, not just financially, but in their emotions, mind, their spirit. I remember the story of Dr. Cho when he started his church, and he just had a little tent, and he was trying to get people to come to the tent, and he'd walk around these very poor villages, and he'd knock on the door, and his message was, you're going to hell. You need a savior. Come to Jesus. That was his message, and he wasn't getting a lot of response. And then he knocked on one door, and he gave his message, and the lady just laughed out loud, a few missing teeth and everything else, and just screaming with laughter. And he says, "Why are you laughing? This is a serious matter." And she said, "I'm not going to hell. I'm there already." She said, "You don't need to tell me I'm going to hell. I live there. My husband's an alcoholic, comes home, bashes me every night. I got no money. All we eat is a little bowl of rice every day. We look at my house. It's a mess. There's mud on the floor. The rain comes through the roof." And he realized right then he needed to start speaking good news to people. Instantly, his world turned around, and he got a few people coming to his tent, and he's had the largest church in the world for the last 50 years. Amen. It's an amazing thing what good news will do for people. So Christians, if you're being a little severe or a little heavy, lighten up, would you? Amen. Give the world some good news. God is good. He's come to set captives free. He's come to bring blessing and to do you good. God is a good God. So three times in this statement that Jesus makes about Himself out of the book of, and he's quoting an ancient scripture from Isaiah, the prophet, and he's making it His own. And everybody knew this applied only to the Messiah. And so he's saying, the Holy Spirit is on me, and God has sent me to set captives free. So both the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in setting people free. It's pretty high on God's agenda. It's a very high item that when He sees somebody that is oppressed or harassed, when He sees somebody who is bullied, somebody who is manipulated and coerced against their will, His intention is to come into their world and set them free. And I know that in this meeting, some of you who are being manipulated by darkness, you found yourself addicted to certain things. You can't stop doing things that you once thought you could do and get away with. Freedom needs redefining in the world in which we live. For a lot of people, in society, they imagine that freedom is the ability to do whatever I want to do, and there are not going to be any consequences. However, you can't do whatever you want to do and not experience consequences. Because what we want to do is sometimes not the right thing we should do. It's not a thing that's going to be good for us. And it opens a door for another power to get a hold of us and start to manipulate us, and we're like a puppet on strings. We find ourselves thinking things, doing things, believing things, going places, acting out things, watching things that we don't want to, but we find ourselves we can't get out of it. We've repented from it, we've asked for forgiveness from it, but we still find ourselves stuck in a hole. It's like we're in a prison. It's like we're in chains. And Jesus said, I am coming into your world to set you free. I've come to this earth, and if the Son sets you free, you're not just going to be free for a moment. You'll be free indeed. You'll be free forever. Freedom is here, people. Freedom has come to this earth to set captives free. And so we see right through Scripture, from the beginning of time, where Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, the very first thing that hit them out of their consequence of doing something God told them not to do was fear. They heard God, and the Bible says they hid from His presence. And so when you've got something going on in your world, you don't want to hide from presence conference. Amen. You don't want to hide from His presence. There could be reasons why we don't want that encounter. We don't want that. We don't want to go to church. We don't want to pray. We don't want to read the Bible because we're nervous about what He's going to do for us, how He's going to come into our lives. But listen to me. Paul said to Timothy, his protege, God has not given to you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now listen to this. This is important to understand. Why would he need to say, God has not given to you the spirit? Because the devil would like to parade himself as God, putting fear in people's lives as though it was God bullying you into that position. And you will find that many religious examples in the world today where they would trade on fear rather than faith. They would like to keep you manipulated by religion, which means to bind, through fear and not through you experiencing the love and the goodness of God. Paul writes in another letter to Timothy, he says, in the last days, there will be a doctrine of demons, which is a weird thing to think that there could be teaching that comes from demons and it gets in the church. And it will forbid people from marrying. It will forbid certain kinds of foods. It's a feeling of forbidding. It's like you're going to be holy only when you deny your humanity and you forbid and you stop and you restrict and you shut down and you restrain. But Paul says, that's not God. That's demons trying to bind people using God as the excuse. In C.S. Lewis's book, the book series, the Narnia series, you find the donkey dresses up with the skin of a lion and he starts making the people of Narnia do things that are completely contrary to what Aslan, the lion, who is a picture of God, used to ask them to do. And now this aping of God, this donkey, is getting them to do all kinds of terrible things, and they're starting to hate Aslan because it wasn't Aslan, but they started to hate him because it looked like Aslan. But it was a donkey dressed up as Aslan. And we need to know that the devil has got no problems dressing up like religion, looking like God and trying to tell you it's right that you should be afraid. You should be nervous about coming close to God. You should be doing more. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. All my Christian life, I've fought battles with two areas. One of them is condemnation. The other is discouragement. And that's not the only areas. There's a ton of other areas. But condemnation is like having a bully in your head. You never can do enough with that thing. It's a bottomless pit. It's never satisfied. It always makes you feel guilty as soon as you wake up. What'd you do wrong yesterday? It's the accuser of the brethren. It's not the voice of God. It's the voice of the devil trying to put you down and bind you. And I learned somewhere along the line that I had to shut that out, because at first I thought it was God. At first I thought this feeling of guilt that I carry around, surely that can't come from the devil. That's got to be God. This feeling of heaviness and of that I've never done enough, and that there's something going to creep up on me from my background. That judgment's going to fall on me. That thing that was wrong there, that was God punishing me for. All of those thoughts, they're not from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And you need to know that the devil came into this world to shut you down, to bury your personality, and to lock you away in a state of constant fear. People live with all kinds of fears. They live with paranoias that everybody in the room is looking at them and talking about them or thinking about them. They get on the bus, everybody's talking or thinking about me. Well, that's, you know, a weird fear, but some people have that. So some people, I've met people who they've sat in this church who've got a trench coat on and a hat over them. I say, why do you dress like this? They say, the CIA are after me. They got a conspiracy. I mean, you laugh about that, but in your world, there may be another kind of fear where you're worried about memories you've got. You got a fear of dark, or you got a fear of big crowds, or a fear of being alone, or a fear of failure, so you don't step out to do something. Listen to me. Jesus Christ has come into this world to set you free from fear. Freedom is here. He said, I'm anointed. Three times more than anything else in that statement, He says, I've come to set you free. Right through the Old Testament, from Moses, when he set 3 million Israelites free, God said, I hate it seeing people oppressed and owned by another force, overseen and harassed by other bullies in their life. I'm going to set these people free. When the Midianites oppressed the Israelites, God raised up Gideon and said, you set these people free. Whenever God has raised somebody up, He's used them to set people free. His freedom comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, God institutionalized it. He didn't just do it through a man or a woman. He did it through a law that He instituted in Israel. And when Jesus says here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, there's not a scholar I've read who doesn't agree that that is referencing the year of Jubilee in the calendar of Israel. So when Moses drafted up the constitution, if you like, for the nation of Israel, one of the things in that constitution was that every 50 years, this is such a good thing. Some people think the Old Testament is severe. Here's the love of God right here. Every 50 years, so that gives you once a lifetime, all the slaves had to be set free. Slavery was a normal part of their lives. I know we despise it and can't understand why it was there, but it was there. And anyone who had sold themselves because of poverty or had been sold to another person, when that year of Jubilee came, they had to be set free. The owner and the slave both knew it was now. I'm getting set free. Every debt you had was wiped out. The CBA, the ANZ, Westpac, and NAB would have to tear up all the mortgages. People, who wants a return? Amen. Every debt that people owed you, you had to rip it up. All debts were wiped out. Nobody owed anybody anything anymore in the entire nation. What kind of crazy rule is that? That's a good rule, I think. And then the last one, a restoration of all property. If you'd had to sell your house to get yourself out of difficulty, they had to give it back to you. How's this? This is God. This is the year of Jubilee. And Jesus says, I've come to proclaim it. When God proclaims something, it happens. When He rebukes wind, it stops. When He tells a dead person, rise, they rise. When He says, stretch out your hand, it gets healed. When he says, stand up and walk, a crippled man, a paralyzed man stands up and carries his bed and walks. When he says, blind eyes open, blind eyes open. When God speaks, things happen. And when Jesus says, he's anointed me to proclaim, so it's not just a statement on a door window or on a wall. It's not just a information calendar. It's not just saying, here we are, this is some information about. It's a proclamation that Jesus knew that when he spoke it, chains would snap inside people's lives and they would be set free from whatever had been binding them. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, people, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Others might try to proclaim it, but when he proclaims it, it's going to happen. When it was proclaimed in Israel, a high priest would stand at the courtyard of the temple and would blow a ram's horn, and it would be the trumpet sound of freedom. And then it would go to the priests who were standing at a perimeter of the temple, and they'd blow. And then it went to the city walls of Jerusalem because they could hear the sound. As soon as they heard it, they'd blow trumpets. People were stationed. Leaders of communities were stationed all through Israel so that as soon as they heard the sound of that trumpet blowing, the year of Jubilee has arrived, they'd blow it. And they'd go right through the land till the borders of Israel were reached. Right around Israel, everybody could hear the sound of Jubilee, the sound of freedom. Can you imagine how much rejoicing, how much incredible celebration, how much awesome worship would be happening as people thank God for putting in their life a Jubilee year that was going to set them free for eternity. And God has come into this world not to bind you, but to set you free. Not to make you religious, but to actually loose you out into the freedom and the wide open spaces of God. Right from the beginning, as I said before, of the Garden of Eden, it says that Adam and Eve hid themselves because of fear. How many people are hiding? They're just buried behind mask on mask on mask because of fears. I would say that at the root of most every problem we've got is the root of fear. Way back in that garden, that was the first emotion they felt. They did what was wrong. Instantly their eyes were opened. They felt shame because they were naked and fear because God's voice was in the garden. They tried to cover themselves, and God says, hey, let me cover you. Don't try to cover yourself with lies or with any other thing to deny it or avoid it or to run away from it. Let me help you. Let me cover you. Let me bury it. Let me wipe it out from existence. Anything that has held you and manipulated you and bound you. Today, I believe in this room, there's freedom. There's freedom for people who have had any kind of difficulty in their thinking, any kind of difficulty in their marriages, in their relationships. God sent Jesus into this world to set the captives free. When we sing, and there are a lot of songs about how he set me free and about freedom, sometimes I'm not sure we fully understand what that is. But when the Holy Spirit comes into a person's life, you know he's there because they're set free. When Jesus is in a person's life, you know it because they're set free. When religion is in a person's life, you know it because they're bound. When Adam and Eve were tempted, the serpent said to Eve, has God told you you can't eat of this fruit? And she said, no, he not only has told us we can't eat it, we can't touch it. But God never said that. So they added to what God had said. And there's a temptation in all of us to add to what God has required of us, thinking that that makes us more holy. That we're really going to impress God if I do a little more than what he's asking. So when Jesus comes to Peter and says, let me wash your hands and feet, Peter. He says, oh God, just wash me all over. He says, no, whoa, whoa. All I need to do is wash your hands and feet. He wants to impress God like I'm really holy. In fact, when God brings a blanket to him of all these unclean animals, there was pork, there was crayfish, there was everything an Australian eats at Christmas time. Amen. There it was, coming down on a blanket, which proves that God is Australian. And down it came. And he said, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter said, God, you're not allowed to say that. You're being very unholy. I'm holier than you, obviously, because I won't eat that. God said, rise, kill, and eat it. Three times he had to try and change his thinking, because here was Peter adding to what God was asking him to do, thinking that that somehow is more holy, even than God himself. Just to become more spiritual doesn't mean you have to reduce your level of humanity. You don't become less human to become more spiritual. God loves your humanity. He made it. He loves all the things that go with it, the color, the rhythms, the life, the celebrations. Dare I say sex?
Yes, say it.
If you were God, would you have invented that? Would you have made it that good? See, some people think, how could God do that? Because we've been dirtied in our minds by the way that it's been presented all the time. It was meant to be within marriage, between a man and a woman, and a beautiful experience. If you reserve it for that, people, you'll experience what God was intending you to have. He was intending you to enjoy life. You know, that was the biggest clap we've had this entire sermon. I'm worried about you rascals. You know, it's like... So people, understand that God is good. I think, James, you may need a class for all the young single people. At the end of this, just do some matchmaking, you know, whatever. No, don't do it. Seriously. God is good and he's come to set you free. He's come to liberate the soul of people that are bound. Sometimes those bondages are because we opened up a door and the devil got a foothold to manipulate us. Other times it was a traumatic event in our lives and it just opened up a fear hole in our soul. And somehow we just can't seem to escape the memory or whatever it was in our past. Freedom comes in at three different levels, I've found. The first one is immediately. I've experienced that. When I first got born again, I was set free immediately from fear. I felt it leave me. And I will never deny that experience for the sake of being more sophisticated, for the sake of being more respectable, because I know that that's the case in so many people's lives, and they wander all their way through life believing they've got a disorder or a dysfunction when really it's a demon that can be cast out of them, just like that. Secondly, it can be a process where it begins today, and over the next month or so, you just find yourself getting freer and freer and freer. And God does that so that you can build a wall to hold on to your freedom, where it's been broken down. When you've had walls that are broken down, you're a sitting duck for anything to come your way. And those walls are boundaries. And people seem to think they can live without boundaries and nothing's going to happen. Boundaries are the power to say no. Freedom is the power to say no. It's the ability to say, I won't do that, when you want to do it. You got power. You got thing called self-control. And the third one is you can do it yourself. And I'd urge you to learn how to fight the devil. Paul says, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. This is the Bible. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He would love to operate under a camouflage that it's not him, that it's a medical problem, that it's a chemical problem, that it's an issue of dysfunction or whatever. And I'm not saying that everything is the devil, but some things are. I would definitely say that everything is not the force of darkness. We are engaged in a war. We're going to celebrate Anzac Day on Wednesday. But let me tell you, the war for souls in Australia is not over. And we need to engage and understand that we've got to stand up on the inside. And one of the best ways you'll do that is to win your own battles. And then you'll win it for other people as well. I want us to stand up right now as we come to a close. And in the name of Jesus, if you're here today and you're thinking, that speaks to me, I need that, I want you to put your hands in the air. Reach out to God. I'm going to pray for you right now. And by the power of the name of Jesus, I command that every evil spirit that has bound people's minds, that has tried to cripple their personality, that has tried to hinder their decision-making, that has got them stuck in a moment in their lives, here in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every unclean devil, every unclean spirit, get out of this building by the blood of Jesus and by the power of God. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you'll bring deliverance and freedom right here, right now, by your Spirit. Lord, it will bring your liberty into the hearts and lives of every soul here. I see chains breaking. I see minds getting set free from dominant thoughts. I see hearts getting out of a fixated process. Lord, I see obsessions ceasing, addictions broken. Here today, in the name of Jesus, if you set your will against that thing, you'll get free right here, right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Start people on a journey and empower people here today, Lord, to cast off oppression, to come against condemnation, to come against discouragement, to come against these spirits that try to wear them down, to accuse them and to bind them. Lord, I proclaim liberty here today in the name of Jesus as his representative, as a minister of God. I declare freedom, the year of Jubilee in the lives of every person here. Give the Lord a great clap offering. Everybody today, thank you, Jesus.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can order any of Pastor Phil's resources at philpringle.com or at c3store.com. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions you have made and the great things God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share, or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.